Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Let's roll out the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you would like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but you know, randomly swing over there on those off days just to see what might be going on over there, right? Why not? What else do you have to do? Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, of course, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
All right, Dan. Now, I did not see this interview, but I have seen quite a few excerpts from it. I'm under the impression that I don't know if you've seen the wonderful highlights from it either, but it was Magic Johnson Day on the First Take program on the Mickey Mouse Network, and he basically threw everyone under the bus except for LeBron James. So I thought that was, well, kind of interesting. He more or less blamed everything on Rob Pelinka, who is their, I guess, de facto general manager, however you want to look at how the Laker hierarchy is run. He is apparently the guy right there. But, yeah, I'm not surprised that he didn't take any of the blame himself. I wasn't expecting him to. But are you, I don't know, in any way, shape, or form surprised that he just dumped all over everybody else?
Yeah, pretty much, but I haven't seen the interviews, but I wouldn't think that's in his personality.
Yeah, I don't even know what I expected out of it. I mean, you know, you knew it was... You know, he was going to point fingers at somebody, and, you know, who knows if or what they have, they have going on there. But, you know, it seems like it's quite a mess, and I was just kind of like, yeah, okay, here we go, whatever, you know, whatever's going on. But, you know, obviously it's a big deal for the Mickey Mouse Network to run this down, but I don't know. At this point, do you think enough people care?
No, I mean, what was the expectation?
Yeah, that I don't know. You know, they never really, you know, I'm assuming the expectations were pretty much what they were expected. I mean, I think they were probably under the impression he was going to point fingers at somebody. And you know, like I said, he clearly did. I saw the majority of the clips that I saw from the episode. He spent most of the time blaming Rob Pelinka. He also threw Tim Harris's name in there. I didn't see him crush Jeannie Buss. He just kind of implied that she's dealing with too much. And, you know, he talked about how he wanted to fire Luke Walton. And, you know, I guess it was just kind of strange in a sense for me, because I don't think anybody was blaming Magic for anything except for maybe the way he left. But it was almost like he was trying to protect himself, and it was very I guess childish, because he was talking about stuff that Palenka allegedly said behind his back. And I kind of felt like I was in high school or middle school where, you know, you ran into your friends and they were like, oh, well, did you hear this guy just said this about you? Like, okay, how old are we?
Well, I mean, would you say it's very unbecoming of Johnson to do that?
You know, you would think it is, but oddly, nobody, you know, it didn't seem to get that reaction. You know, and I mean, I guess maybe I should have expected that more than anything, that they were, you know, he wouldn't be on the network if they weren't just going to kiss his butt right and left. It was just a little strange, you know, like, but, you know, they didn't really question anything he said. Like the weird part was, you know, one of the biggest complaints they had about him was he was never in the office. You know, he was president, but he wasn't there very much. And it's, you know, obviously it's difficult to run a team when the guy who's supposed to be your president isn't around. And I don't know how he found that offensive. You know, I mean, it's a difficult job to do, and you need to be there, or, you know, you at least need to, you know, be able to have access to you, you know, because obviously you're, and I'm just wondering if maybe they gave him the wrong job title, and, you know, he spent just, you know, almost like what they call it here with the Cubs, you know, team ambassadors, where, you know, all these guys get jobs and they more or less just make public appearances for the team. Because I don't think president was the best job title for him. You know, they piled a bunch of responsibility up on him, and then when he didn't come through, to nobody's surprise, you know, he just walked away, you know, and left the team. And, you know, let's face it, I mean, while they have LeBron, there isn't a ton around him right now. So I don't know. We'll see. But I wasn't all that thrilled with his explanations, I guess we could say.
Well, I mean, basically from what you're describing, it sounds like he was trying to divert any sort of...
The next stop will be Midlothian.
Acceptance of responsibility on his end.
Yeah, it was pretty clear he wanted everybody to know that it wasn't his fault. So... You know, that was definitely, you know, definitely the point there he was trying to make. He wanted everybody to understand that it was all Rob Pelinka's doing, and you know, it's not his fault that the Lakers haven't been in the playoffs in what's it been now, 3, 4, 5 years. He made sure of all that, and you know, it was just kind of like, well, okay, you know, you got to come out here and basically CYA. And, you know, that's, you know, good for you. You know, I mean, no, you know, nobody's going to question him. He's a Hall of Famer. You know, they're not going to say, oh, God, look at this. So, you know, like I said, he pretty much got to do what he wanted to do. And, you know, that's fine. I, you know, hopefully it'll just go away and they can get on to the other off-season, you know, almost off-season excitement, because we still have the playoffs. We still got about another month of the playoffs to go. So.
Oh yeah. I mean, coming out and saying he wanted to fire Walton, what is that to?
Because they waited to do it. He wanted to do it, you know, during the season. That was one of the, you know, the big conversational points during the year, of course, with LeBron was, you know, it was clear that he didn't want to play for Luke Walton. So, You know, but I mean, we also know enough about LeBron to know for the fact that he doesn't want to play for anybody. So.
Yeah, but I mean, even saying that, what difference would it make if he had fired him? And he was the president, so why didn't he?
Well, because, well, you know, Jeannie Buss didn't want to play, so.
Well, you know, I mean, coming out and saying this, and then, you know, the way he left the team, I think in the end, he's the one who's coming out, no matter what he, whatever he does, looking bad and looking like a giant child.
Yeah, it, you know, it was weird because that was kind of how I interpreted it. But if, you know, if you watch the Mickey Mouse Network, and obviously it's been on every show they've had today, I believe they even covered some of it on NFL Live, even though it's an NBA story. You know, they're treating him like, you know, he's right on and it's everybody else's fault. But, you know, maybe they want him to do in-studio stuff for the finals, so they have to, you know, they have to kind of gratiate everything towards him so he'll come on and work with them. I think I just made up a word there, but that's okay. Don't tell anybody. No.
Yeah, it sounded like a word.
Yeah. well, you know, then, yeah, enough of that BS. Now, I did, you know, I didn't watch too much of the NASCAR race over the weekend because it was the All-Star race, and it doesn't count for points or anything. It didn't mean anything. But luckily, I turned it on at the end, and I don't know the entire setup behind it, but I turned it on just in time to see your guy, Clint Bowyer, running across the track and throwing literally probably 8 or 10 punches into the window of Ryan Newman's car before, you know, anything else. And it was like, oh, okay. So I'm guessing they had a little bit of an on-track incident that carried over. Did you manage to get around to finding this? I tweeted you about it, never heard back from you.
No, I didn't. I must not have been getting all my tweet notifications yesterday, but gray sheet means to establish in the favor of good graces of someone. So,
oh, okay. So I didn't make up a word. Look at that.
No, then you use it in 100% context.
So there you go. I am much smarter than I actually even thought I was. So there you go, people. But, yeah, it was quite an interesting situation. I'll be interested to see how what NASCAR decides to do with this. He wasn't landing power shots or anything through the window. You know, Newman just kind of slid right out and, you know, seemed no worse for wear and was ready to fight. And by then it was broken up and Bowyer was gone. It was kind of like the strategy. I think it's from the movie Dazed and Confused where the guy said, you know, how many punches are really thrown in a fight before they pick it up? So, yeah, it seemed very similar to that. You know, Bowyer figured if he could get there first and land on the punches, the fight would be broken up, but, you know, by the time anything else happened. But the disappointing part is I don't know what caused it. I didn't get to see anything, if it happened on track or, you know, any of that stuff. So, that was kind of a bummer.
Well, I mean, did Newman have his helmet off yet? Because, I mean...
No, he was sitting in the car. They, I guess the way it looked is, you know, they were banking a little bit after the finish of the race, and then Bowyer spun Newman and jumped out of his car and went after him. So, yeah, I don't think Newman had his helmet off or, you know, my guess is he still had his Hans device connected. It was kind of wild just to see, you know, the way he was just firing away with the punches. You know, I was kind of like, oh, okay, we're rolling now. And I thought, well, maybe we'll get to see a fight. But, you know, of course, by then the pit crews are there and it's broken up and, you know, like, oh, well.
Yeah, no, it looks like Newman crashed Boyer. So he kind of bumped him. He kind of bumped him and then he hit the wall. So, I mean, very called for in the outside race. And it looks like Newman did have his helmet off.
Okay.
He was getting pummeled, but, you know, well, then again, bruising and stuff doesn't happen, you know, 30 seconds later.
Yeah.
But if you would like to see the footage yourself and you have the NASCAR app downloaded on your tablet or cell phone, smartphone, I guess, as soon as you open the app up, it's the first thing, literally. The play button's there. You just hit play and there it is.
Yeah, I didn't, you know, I had read about it, and like I said, I saw the end of it live, so I was kind of like, you know, I'm sure you could probably go to YouTube as well and find the video. I mean, everything seems to pop up there now. So, but yeah, right away when it was Boyer, I was like, oh, I'm watching this.
Yeah, speaking of that, you're a hilarious guy. One of the gifts you've given me over the years is a Clint Boyer sticker that I put on my old car, and sadly it had to go with the car when we traded it in.
The next stop will be Italy Park.
Now, I just want to know if whoever bought the car kept the sticker.
Yeah, I know. Well, it went off to the auction. So.
No.
But, I mean, if you ever happen to see a little Chevy Cobalt with a Clint Boyer sticker on it, on the driver's side, you know where that came from.
Well, you know, now that you got your, you know, your basement back and you don't have your real, you know, the relative inherited from getting married living with you, I'll have to see if they have the gigantic Clint Boyer fathead so you could put it up on the wall. You know, that would be that would be nice. You know, the tough part is finding, you know, newer Clint Boyer stuff. I know he switched teams last year, but it's still difficult to find, you know, the newer things. I don't know if he's selling out or, you know, what's going on. I keep running into the older, you know, the older Clint Boyer stuff when I'm out looking for things.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I'm guessing, you know, he's got to be one of more, they're more, you know, I'm going to say entertaining drivers or maybe personality wise, because, you know, he had the little appearance on Duck Dynasty where I think it's more you ended up discovering him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's actually been on an episode of Network on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, you know, which is one of their more popular shows. He's featured in the, when they do the Charlotte area. So, yeah, you know, I'm guessing, you know, NASCAR must like him and, you know, want him to be out there promoting. So.
Maybe he'll fight.
But, yeah, you know, always makes for a little more interest when they fight, right? No. Yeah, you know, I thought there was something about the race. I blanked on what it was, but I wanted to throw at. I mean, you know, Kyle Larson did win, picked up the $1 million. I do wonder, what do you think his cut of that $1 million is between the, you know, the owner and the team and stuff? What does the driver get?
I never thought of that because I mean, you figure you've got to pay the pit crew too, right?
Right, yeah, well, you know, yeah, you've got to pay, you know, I mean, if you look at the crew, you know, obviously there's just the guys, I mean, you have four tire changers, a gas man, and a jack man come over the wall, not to mention everybody else who works in the pit. I mean, they have, you know, the guy who checks tires when they come off the car, you know, the crew chief himself, You know, then you got the guys at the shop who actually do all the work on the car. You know, you got to wonder by the time the $1 million trickles down to the driver, how much is actually left. Not to mention the tax.
NASCAR, there is no tax.
Yeah, because obviously it always sounds cool. I mean, I don't know if they did it, but, you know, they used to do the thing where the guy drove behind the truck, and I'm sure it was fake money, but, you know, the money used to come flying out of the back of the car, the Brinks truck at him. So, but, yeah, they're not throwing real money around. Of course, that would be cool if they did, but... So, yeah, I don't know why that popped into my head. Just one of those odd things. So, you know, and then I have to tell you, Dan. You know, my laziness took over. I had actually forgotten the tablet in my room. I was in the living room watching. I can't remember which baseball game it was, and it went to rain delay. And I was just kind of like, crap. You know, all right. So I'm flipping around trying to find something else. And I actually ran into the women's college softball tournament. And the one thing I learned, Dan, is there's no way in hell I could ever touch anything any of these ladies are throwing up there. Because obviously they're closer to home plate and, you know, they're throwing underhand. But, man, can they bring it. I'm like, holy crap. Like, I was – frightened for my life.
I saw about.
Yeah, I don't know.
Over the weekend.
So yeah, you know, I don't know enough about who's any good or anything like that. I was just kind of watching the ladies pitch, and it was just. Yeah, okay. If you get a chance, you know, definitely, you know, even if you're not a fan, you should check it out. Just check out, you know, 5 minutes to watch the girl pitch, and you know that's enough for you. That was enough for me to be impressed. So, you know, swing it by. I know it's on. Networks. There. So, but I did want to get into something a little more serious baseball wise. It involves one of, you know, well, we'll call him your guy, you know. Have you caught up on the Yoenis Cespedes story from that?
No, I just figured he was still injured. I haven't even.
Yeah, well, you know, we know he missed, I don't even know, did he miss all of last season and most of the last season, he was scheduled to miss all of this season pretty much. I believe he had double surgery. Well, there's a story coming out today, Dan, that apparently he was working on his ranch and suffered a very serious ankle fracture. And, you know, now there's a period. Now, obviously, there was very little chance he was coming back this year as it was. They're talking about the fact that there's a possibility now he may miss all of next year. Like, they described it as a violent fall, twisted his ankle in a hole. At this point in time, Dan, what the hell did the Mets do with this guy? You know, I want to get his contract info here and see how many years he's got left, but you know they've paid this guy quite a bit of money, and you know when he's healthy he's actually produced, but they're not getting much out of it, and you know now we're looking at you know possibly another entire season, and as a guy with the you know recovering from an ankle injury, you know, it's not exactly the easiest thing. you know, do they have any options? I mean, is there a way to terminate the contract?
I mean, I was waiting for you to pull it up because I was wondering how much longer he had.
Yeah. Actually, he's only got next year. He's got this year and next year, $29.5 million next year. So, you know, that could be a, you know, God, Dan, he's getting $29 million not to play this year. How do I get this job? You know, no wonder why the Mets can't sign anybody. They're giving all their money to Cespedes to stay home.
I mean, you've got to wonder what kind of insurance they took out on his contract.
Yeah. Yeah, you hope there, you know, there's definitely something there. I mean, besides the fact that it looks like here they're paying here we go. It says the estimated recoup via insurance on Yoenis Cespedes Cox's contract for this year is $7 million. So that means the Mets are still on the hook for $22 million this year?
Apparently, they didn't buy a good enough insurance policy. So he signed through this year and next year?
Yeah. Yeah, next year his salary actually goes up $500,000. It's $29 million this year. Next year, $29.5 million. So...
Well, I mean, looks like they're stuck with it. I mean, do you DFA him and hope that maybe he gets healthy and somebody picks him up so they can cover some of that? Because there's no way anyone's trading.
No. Yeah, I'm, you know, kind of at a loss here. I don't, you know, really understand it myself. I mean, you know, you and I both. You know, we both like him as a player when he's, you know, when he's on the field. Obviously, he's, you know, incredibly productive. But, you know, it almost seems like signing with the Mets was the worst thing he ever could have done. I mean, you know, not that, you know, the Mets are a bad team, but, you know, you look at it here and, you know, his first full year there, you know, he played 132 games. He had a good year, you know, hit 280, hit 31 homers. You know, last year or 2 years ago, he played 81 games. And then last year it was just 38 games. Obviously this year it's going to be the big squadoosh. You know, I don't know. You know, I mean, is that the best bet? You DFA him, you hope for the best, or, you know, do they have a legal option because of the way this injury came about, do you think? You know, you have to wonder if possibly there's something there they could pursue. I don't know. I don't know enough about it. So, but it's, you know, definitely something to, you know, keep their eye on. And then with the struggle the Mets have had, you know, Brody Van Wagen and their new general manager actually held a press conference today to basically clarify to the media that, Mickey Callaway is their manager. But oddly, he used the term for the foreseeable future. So while he tried to clarify things, I got to be honest with you, he did an incredibly poor job of clarifying things, because whose foreseeable future are we talking about? You know, obviously it's his because he's the general manager, but how long does Brody's foreseeable future last? You know, is it next week if the Mets get swept in, you know, another series or two? Is it, you know, next month? Is it the All-Star break? Does he make it through the year? So it was just kind of like, okay, great. He's here for the foreseeable future. I don't have an answer for you what the foreseeable future is. You know, all I know is for some reason the team has completely stopped hitting. Robinson Cano is now the new scapegoat of the Mets, because I don't know if you saw it. I believe it was yesterday, in the process of getting swept by the Marlins. Cano grounded out and decided to slowly trot to first base. We've seen him do this before. Remember, there was a big issue with Manny Machado doing this last year. Hey, I thought you were on break. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, where they're from, it they don't run those out. So.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's nothing nothing new. I mean, like I said, we've seen Cano do it before. I don't think they should be as concerned about not running it out as the fact that, you know, he's got a big-time career average and right now he's 45. So they should probably be a little more concerned with that. But, I mean, look at the lineup and you're like, oh, yeah, this is a pretty solid lineup. Well, I mean, it's not great. It's not going to blow anybody away. But, you know, it's just – it's not hitting. And it's like, okay, how – you know, and I – that's one of those things I don't understand how this is the manager's fault. They're just in a slump. But I guess when you get swept by the Marlins, these kind of things are going to come out, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know how you would feel because you're not in our but imagine having Noah Syndergaard. I can't tell you how excited I was to land Noah Syndergaard as one of my starting pitchers. And I don't believe he's got more than two wins.
So I can tell you I'm actually on their baseball reference page. Noah is actually 3-4 this year in his 10 starts.
Yeah. You know, this weekend he went 7 innings. I don't know if he went, you know, any more, you know, a third or two or whatever, but another one. I think it was a loss or just a no decision. So for the excitement I had for a guy who's, I think, ranked as like one of the top 10 pitchers in Yahoo Fantasy, you know, I was sitting there looking at him this morning going, do I trade him now?
Yeah, he did take the loss yesterday. He went 7 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs, walked 1, struck out 3. Of course, the problem was the fact is they got shut out by Sandy Alcantara. So,
yeah, and, you know, I was like, who the hell is this kid?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, humorously – you know, Mr. Fantasy did mention yesterday that with the way the Mets are hitting, because Alcantara was a lower-priced FanDuel option, that, you know, if you thought the Mets were going to continue to struggle, he would be a really good play, and, yeah, he would have been. I know they've had some bad injury luck. It seems to be a New York thing, I guess. You know, they signed Jed Lowrie, who was basically coming off a career year last year. He hasn't played because he's been injured. You know, they lost Michael Conforto to that concussion, which was just bad. I mean, you don't know when the return there is going to be. You know, we just talked about Cespedes. You know, Jason Vargas was supposed to be the fifth starter, and not only did he stink, he got hurt. Your guy Justin Wilson ended up on the 10-day IL. He's got an issue with his pitching elbow, so they don't know when he's coming back. It seems like everything is just kind of adding up. And then, you know, they had high hopes for Keon Broxton. You know, he was a gigantic prospect in the Brewer organization. They ended up DFAing him. You know, their own prospect, Dominic Smith, was hitting pretty well, but for some reason they decided to ship him back to AAA. So I don't know. But, I mean, you look at the pitching staff, and like you mentioned, Syndergaard. Well, you know, they can back that up with, you know, Jacob DeGrom, Zach Wheeler, and Steven Matz. You know, there's four guys that can go out and shut any team down. But the problem is, you don't know if they're going to get enough run support to do anything after that.
Well, wasn't it only 3-0 yesterday?
Yeah. Yeah, he lost 3-0. So,
And, you know, and it's games like that that when you look at it, I don't – slump or not, I don't think this particularly pays a whole lot into that one. But when you're losing games 3-0, especially against the bottom feeder, this just to me says whether you even grab a wild card or not, you're not World Series bound like you were in 2015.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and the weird thing is, you know, they're only 5 games under. So, you know, it's not like they completely stink. You know, they're about 7.5 behind. That's only May. You know, that's not a huge concern. It's just, you know, they've got to start hitting. You know, I mean, there's just no other question, you know, no other way to go about it. I mean, you know, they added Wilson Ramos. He looked like he was probably the best catching free agent out there. You know, he's hitting .238. You know, I mentioned Cano is at .254. You know, they not only had Broxton in center field, he was hitting .143 before they DFA'd him. He was sharing time with Juan Laguerre, who's hitting .215.
How did the Mets end up with Keon? I thought he went to Miami.
No, that was Lewis Brinson. Yeah, that was the other Milwaukee prospect. He was the big guy in the Yelich trade. Let me see here. It looks like it was a pretty minor deal. They sent 2 minor leaguers and a middle reliever to the Brewers for him. Adam Hill, Felix Valerio were the minor leaguers. And then Bobby Wall was just kind of the journeyman middle reliever that went back to Milwaukee in the trade. So, but yeah, you know, for what, you know, it seems like, you know, Broxton, and you got to wonder if maybe we're going to have to throw Brinson into this, are just, you know, you get those guys who are great at AAA. And then when it's time to get to the majors, the performance isn't there. And you just got to wonder if maybe these two guys are going to fall into that bracket and, you know, they're going to be busts. But, you know, just to add to it, you know, the Mets were waiting for Todd Frazier to get back from the IL. And obviously we know Frazier's not a big-time average guy, but he, you know, should supply some power. Yeah, in 21 games, he's hitting a whopping .183 with 2 homers.
Yeah, I think I had him on one of my teams and had to after, like you said, after waiting for him to get off the IL, I, you know, once he returned from Illinois, I was like, oh, he's going to, you know, at least full-time and put some solid numbers up at third base, and might be part of the reason I had a losing weekend.
You know, and I mean, obviously, you know, Pete Alonso's doing really well. He does have the 14 bombs. The average is this .258, but, you know, in baseball, you can live with that. Conforto was hitting, you know, .271 with the 9 homers. You got to hope he gets back soon. You know, but the other guys, you know, like Jeff McNeil's been raking. He's actually hitting .342. The problem is they're having a tough time finding spots to play him, so they're going to have to work that out. And then, you know, J.D. Davis, they brought him in to be the utility man, but he's really been the better third baseman. You know, he's hitting .287, but neither of these guys have a lot of power. And, you know, that plays big in today's game. So I don't know, but I think they're going to have to make the tough decision of getting these guys more at-bats over the Todd Frazier's, the Juan Laguerre's, maybe even the Robinson Cano's, if he can't get going, you know, that's really the only option Callaway has. I mean, especially on a team that's not hitting, you got to play the guys that are hitting, don't you?
They should have kept Jay Bruce.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm sure if they, you know, Seattle will probably trade him back to him if they can come up with a deal. So, you know, but yeah, I don't know, you know, you just keep, you know, cause that's why you wonder, you know, Dominic Smith was hitting .289 and all that got him was a ticket back to AAA. It's like, okay, there's only one guy in the everyday lineup right now who's got a better average than that. So, you know, maybe you should have made room for him. You know, and obviously Alonso is your first baseman, but he'd been playing some left field. You know, Smith had been playing some left field, so I don't know. You know, I mean, I know the answer wasn't bringing Carlos Gomez back up. You know, they had him hiding in AAA. So, well, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, obviously the manager is going to take the fall for this. That's just how it goes in baseball. But, yeah, you know, looking at it, Dan, I mean, God, is it really his fault?
Not unless he canceled batting practice.
Yeah, so.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, you know.
Do you think if there is a benefit of canceling batting practice before the game every day, I've got to see it.
But, yeah, now, you know, Dan, we did have a trade. We actually had a trade of major league talent. You know, it looks like the Braves finally decided they needed some bullpen help. Obviously, they didn't want to spend the Craig Kimbrel money. So they made a deal with the Mariners. The Braves are getting Anthony Swarzak, who's been
Ooh.
One of the better setup guys in baseball for – oh, maybe the last 2 or 3 years. He was scuffling a bit with the Mariners, but, you know, they were trying to have him close games because their closers hurt. He was 2-2 with a 5.27 ERA. He actually did pick up 3 saves. Now, what's interesting is the Mariners are getting back left Jesse Biddle, who's been, you know, up and down a bit with the Braves, but, you know, like, he was really good last year, 6-1 with a 3.11 ERA. This year he's 0-1 with a 5.54 ERA, so we'll see it. You know, it's only 11 innings. But interestingly, the Braves shipped off Aroldis Vizcaino in this deal, and he was supposed to be their future closer.
Yeah.
So I'm interested that they gave up on him. Now, he was 1-0 with a 2.25 ERA. I understand, you know, he's on the 60-day DL right now because they had to go in and take the scar tissue out of his right elbow. I believe he's had 2 Tommy John surgeries. I think the Mariners are sending the Braves some money to cover Swarzak's contract. Do you think Vizcaino's injury kind of made this trade a little more of a need for the Braves? Because obviously he was expected to be a closer with, I think it was A.J. Minter. So do you think this affected it the most, or do you think maybe the Braves just got tired of the injuries and gave up on him?
I think that affected it a lot, but I think also giving up on the injury, or giving up on him because of the injuries, sometimes you just have to move on. And, I mean, with the division they're in, They've got to make those moves to stay competitive, even though I don't see the, you know, the Phillies taking off like they're supposed to have.
Yeah, well, you know, I do know, you know, the Phillies are playing better, but, you know, the Braves are hanging around right there. They're a couple games back. You know what I mean? You know, Vizcaino's 28 now, so you got to wonder – you know, how many more chances, you know, he's going to get. Interestingly, you know, I know he never made it to the majors here, but, you know, he was a Cub for a couple years.
Yeah.
I think he missed one of those with an injury. So, you know, but humorously, Dan, when the Cubs traded him to the Braves, do you know who they got in return?
I know who it is, but I can't remember.
They got my favorite all-time Cub, Tommy La Stella.
Oh.
So.
Well, who's leading off for the Angels?
Yeah. And actually having a pretty good year. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, and again, it wasn't the fact that I didn't like the guy until he turned out to be a gigantic baby, but, you know, I don't need to get into that again. So now, you know, overall, Dan, do you, you know, what do you think of this trade? You like it one way, both ways, or you think, you know, one team got the better of the deal right now?
Well, I definitely think the Braves got the better of the deal. You know, the Mariners seem like they're just trying to shed a little bit more payroll, even though they had to give up some cash to the Braves. But, I mean, I also don't know Swarzak's details on his contract, how many years it is. So, you know, maybe that seemed to help it out, because I know Cano had more on his contract than, or, you know, time period than Jay Bruce.
Cano's got about a billion years on his contract.
That's what I thought. He's like till 23 or 4 or something. Outrageous.
Here, I got it for you. Swarzak only signed through this year at $8.5 million.
Wow. That's pretty cheap on the Braves, having to take some cash.
Yeah. Ugh.
Because I can't imagine if Gaino was under, you know, big contract. So maybe that was the issue and why they wanted cash.
Yeah, they're both, you know, Biddle and Vizcaino are both still, you know, they're pre-arbitration, so they're getting paid, you know, basically whatever the team.
Like $500,000.
Yeah, I see if my internet catches up, I'll be able to look for you really quick. But, of course, I wanted some information, so I'll slow it down. Yeah, Biddle's getting $575,000 for this year, and Vizcaino is making, I think his might be a little more. He's actually getting $4.8 million because I believe he's in his arbitration year. So, yeah, he's at 4.8. So,
again, cheap on the Braves end, because it's not the NBA, so it's not like dollar for dollar you have to match it.
Not like they didn't have to use it all, but yeah, by spending the $2 million, it kind of evened out.
Yeah, so I think in the end, all around, the Braves got the sweet end of the deal, and they have a guy who's going to play that, you know, setup closer role for the rest of the season, obviously barring any injury, where the Mariners, you know, they get to take it up over the next couple of years. Is that $4 million? What is that arbitration? Is that 2 or 3 he's on?
Yeah, you know, it may be his last. Let me double check that. I didn't think to look at it. He can be a free agent after next season. So it's this year and next year.
Yeah. That was kind of on point. You know, obviously we don't know what that extra 10-day hold down, if they're in, you know, 4 years arbitration or 3, but generally it's around the same, where I was thinking it was, you know, 2 to 3. I did a lot of time
in the offseason
looking at contracts.
Yeah.
Not that I know everything about him, I just kind of a general idea of where you might be situated by how much your arbitration dollars are.
So yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting, you know, especially when Vizcaino's name popped up, that it's like, oh wow, they decided. But you know, you gotta wonder, you know, being on the 60-day DL, if he's even gonna be back this year, and it's just something the Mariners are looking for as they sort of kind of rebuild. I don't really know how to describe it with them. I mean, I thought they were rebuilding, but, you know, Jay Bruce is still hanging around, and Encarnacion is still hanging around, so I'm not sure if they know what the hell they were doing.
They're trying to do what the Yankees did, not at the same level.
You know, I think everybody wishes they could do what the Yankees did, but it doesn't, you know, doesn't always work out that way. So, You know, Dan, you'll be happy to know, I'll have to make sure Schomburg Stewart hears this, that Pedro Strop is throwing his first bullpen session for injuring his hamstring. And it's been reported that Brandon Morrow has started his throwing program again. So there you
go.
Dan. It shouldn't be long until they come rolling back into the Cub bullpen. And then, of course, Morrow will be hurt a week later, but that's another story.
I give him 12 days.
At least, you know. So. But, yeah, I thought
interesting. Maybe you're right. Maybe after 7 appearances, which should go over 12 big game days.
Yeah.
But,
oh,
I mean,
well,
I know you're
– it is a last-year deal, right? So they'll be out from
under
it.
Yeah. I was going to say, I know you're not, just like I am, not a huge gambling man, but do you think there's a line on that? On his injuries?
It wouldn't surprise me if it was. You know, there seems to be lines on everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It would be pretty funny.
You know, I know a lot of places don't like to do the negative stuff like that, but I'm willing to bet if there's somebody out there who would take that bet.
Shoot. I mean, well, you know, like I said, you'd have to have a line on it because obviously, you know, you can't bet on it if he's going to get injured because I wouldn't think that would make you a whole lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely need a number of stuff. If Brandon Morrow is going to get injured, you know, you'd have to lay down, you know, probably $100 to make it or something. So that's not going to help you out. You know, I think we all naturally kind of assume that he will be injured. We won't do a question. I didn't run into one of those incredibly stupid situations today, Dan, involving Chris Rose. There was one early game today in Toronto. You know, the Red Sox just mopped the floor with the Blue Jays 12-2, and apparently it was a Canadian holiday. I don't know what it was, but it was a Canadian holiday. Now, it was like Imperial Day or something like that, but the Blue Jays decided, and this was decided earlier, that, you know, they were going to give Vlad Jr. the day off today. It was, you know, already set. But it's baseball. You play a lot of games. Every now and then you need a day off, you know, even at 20-whatever. So they decided to give Guerrero a day off. And I don't know why, but Chris Rose went ape crazy on intentional talk about how, well, they, you know, he's the only superstar they have and he needs to be out there. The fans deserve to see him. And, you know, especially on a day like today, Dan, who does this idiot think he is? You know, he's not a baseball expert. In reality, he's not an expert in anything. He's literally just a television show host. You know, and I don't get this where, why, you know, okay, you want to be upset that an NBA player isn't playing, you know, they play half as many games. But is he valid with this? I mean, did the Blue Jays owe their fans something? I mean, he's got a shot to play how many more games at home this year?
80 plus.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say he really has a valid point. I mean, he's a glorified Indians fan.
You know, yeah, you know what I mean? Again, I'm talking about a guy who has absolutely zero baseball expertise. He was never a player. If you've ever seen any of the videos they show of him attempting to be athletic, it's a complete joke. You know, I get that he's a fan, and as a fan, you want to see these guys, but he's been doing this. I mean, that IT show's been on the air for 8 years now at that network.
Wow.
You got to think he's smart enough to understand that these guys need breaks. You know, there are very few guys in today's game that play every day as it is. It's just not how it goes anymore. And, I don't have a problem with this because he's probably going to be right back out there tomorrow in the series.
Yeah. Well, the only thing that upsets me about this game is that it was too early. And,
yeah.
You know, there is a positive and a negative. So I picked up Edwin Jackson for one team, but I didn't get him in. So there's the positive. The negative, though, is I made a trade last week or a couple of weeks ago for David Price, and he just got off the IL, and today was his first start back. So I lost the W with the pitching column and however many strikeouts and innings he went. It is what it is. He's your biggest superstar or whatnot. I mean, so you sat your biggest superstar on the day you got crushed.
Yeah.
Big deal.
You know, going to hit an 11-run home run? Did they invent something new that I don't know about?
Well, he would have he would have came on with bases loaded three times in a row and hit three grand slams to save the game.
Yeah, you know. So, yeah, he got to the point where he was like me. I mean, he was more or less screaming, on the television program about it. And I'm like, really? It's not that big a deal. I mean, guys sit every day. You know, what's the issue with giving him one day?
Well, and isn't that what separates a guy who covers the team as opposed to a guy who watches games nationally? Do you know what I mean?
Well, you know, I think it defines the difference between, you know, especially on that network, of the guys who have played the game and the guys who, you know, really just need to shut up posting questions.
What did Millar have to say?
Actually, not too much. He just kind of, more or less tried to rein him in, you know.
He wasn't like, calm down there, Rosie. You got to do it like that.
No,
calm down there, Rosie.
Yeah, he was okay, with pretty much. But yeah, he did do the calm down thing and, all the usual stuff that he does. So but yeah, I just kind of, I was just kind of like, oh God, here, I think I ended up turning the channel off after that. I just couldn't deal with him. It's like, yeah, I got to go watch. No.
He wasn't like, got me. No, none of that.
No, they recorded all that now, so they don't have to do it on a daily basis. So, and the sad part is I really like the show. No. Well, the show still is, but they recorded a lot of their bits, like the intros to their bits, so they don't have to do them live anymore.
Oh, so they got real production now.
Yeah, basically, they got real production.
For a budget.
Here we go. If you stop by and look at the
Radio.